Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each one that is gathered in. We welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless us as we're in his house today. Let me, at this stage, just go through the announcements as quickly as we can. Do remind you that you have the other opportunity, if you have any gifts towards the building fund, to leave them in today. We extended it just by 1 week because I'd forgot to announce it the first week. And so if you have any gifts towards it, then please leave them in throughout today. I value your prayer this afternoon. I've been asked to take an orange service at short notice for Glen Hoy Orange Lodge outside of Auchor. The minister that was meant to be doing it has taken on well, and value your prayers at 3:30 as we go across to minister to the Orange Brethren there. The evening service here in the church at 7 p.m., preceded by the time of prayer at 6:30. And we welcome and encourage each one to come again this evening and to be found here in God's house. We're continuing in the book of Acts, and we want to look at a very special subject this evening, Christianity on trial. As you know, we're going through and we're looking at this time as Paul is going through the trials as he's being brought before the various leaders in the Roman Empire. And this evening, as I said, we want to look at Christianity on trial. Then on Wednesday evening, we have our prayer meeting and our Bible study here in the church at 8 p.m. And I'll be along in the will of the Lord to conduct that service. And we're extending to each one that invitation, as always, to be here and to be studying God's word and coming around the throne of grace in prayer. The service is next Sunday, beginning in the morning with the morning worship at 11:30 and the time of prayer at 11 a.m. And then in the afternoon, we're having the first of our drive-in services. We've one planned for the last Sunday in June and then another one planned for the last Sunday in August. Those drive-in services are out in the car park at 3:30. The brethren that brought the trailer and all the sound equipment last year are coming back just for these two special meetings. And let me encourage you even to be here, and let me encourage you to invite your family and your friends. We're blessed with very good facilities, with the good ramp that you can put the trailer at the top, a perfect square car park, we can fit loads of cars in it, all within eyesight and within earshot. We're looking forward even that the Lord will bless that time once again. There'll be an advertisement being put up on the Facebook church page. Do share it, do let others know about it. As I said, invite your neighbours and your friends to come next Sunday afternoon. Reverend McCrae won't be back now, I have to admit that. It's just myself preaching, but hopefully we'll have some special singing as well. And we're looking forward to these opportunities even to reach, and hopefully some of the neighbours around the area as well will come under the sound of God's precious word. Let me thank all those that were able to come and who helped in any way on Friday evening past at the church barbecue. We're thankful to the Lord for the good weather, for the dry weather that we got, and for the good time of fellowship one with the other. We do thank each one that had a part to play in any way, in the catering, the setting up, and all of those things. It is certainly much appreciated. Somebody left their two seats behind afterwards and went home. Now, if you're going to the 12th and you need your fold-out seats, well, the two of them are out there just in the hallway. And if they're your seats, then you're welcome to take them after the service this morning. We do extend as well our sympathy to our brother Robbie Kyle and the passing of his brother-in-law, Vincent Gillespie in Bangor, just at the end of last week. His funeral service will be tomorrow in Bangor. And we do certainly extend to our brother Robbie our Christian sympathy and love at this time. We do pray for him. We're thankful that Vincent was saved and ready to be with the Lord. And we do encourage you to remember the family. May the Lord be gracious and very near to them at this time as another loved one is laid even to the ground. But we're thankful his soul is with the Lord. Whenever you're prepared to meet the Lord, what a blessing it is. What a comfort it is to a family to know that their loved one is with Christ. 364 we're going to commence with this morning. The hymn 364, the page is 323. Peace like a river is flooding my soul, since Christ my Saviour maketh me whole. 364, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Let's stand. peace like a river. Unite together in prayer at this stage. Each one, let us be seeking the blessing, the help of the Lord this morning as we gather together. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee, and in through the precious, the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, we do thank Thee and praise Thee this day that each one that is saved can testify that Jesus Christ is precious to me. We're so thankful, O God, that we are precious to Him. We're so thankful, O God, for the love of Jesus Christ, the love of God even towards us. And from all eternity past, God has loved us. And for all eternity to come, God will still love us. We're so thankful for the everlasting love of Jesus. We're so thankful that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We're so thankful this day that we who were sinners, we who are at enmity with God, yet Christ loved us and gave Himself for us. And Father in heaven, we do pray for Thy blessing. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt be near, that Thou wilt help us this day, even as we worship and as we praise Thee. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt be very near to us. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt come and be one of our number. Lord, we're thankful for the blessings of God another day. We're so thankful, O God, that Thou hast been our help even in these days gone past. That Thou hast been with us, that Thou hast helped us and undertaken for us, even in this week that has gone into eternity. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast been our portion, that Thou hast been our guide even each and every day. And Father, we do pray that as we come together today, that we will worship, that we will praise, that we will glorify even in our God in heaven. We pray as the book is opened, as we read it together, and as we minister from Thy word, that Thou wilt come and minister to all of our hearts. Thou knowest every heart. Thou knowest, O God, the needs of the heart. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt come and be even that speaking voice to each one today. Remember those that have particularly time. Remember those in our congregation who mourn. We've been thinking of them over weeks and even in recent days. Lord, we pray for our brother Robbie as he has lost another loved one. Lord, we pray for that comfort to be extended to the Gillespie family and to the Kyle family. Lord, that thou wilt comfort, that thou wilt sustain them. We think of tomorrow, even at the funeral. Lord, that thou wilt give that grace and that help. Lord, we're thankful for a soul that was saved. We're thankful for a soul that was ready to be with thee. And Father, we pray that thou wilt come, that thou wilt comfort that family. Speak to those that are still outside of Christ. And Lord, that thou wilt draw them unto thyself. Lord, remember the cause of Jesus Christ in these days. Remember the gospel as it is preached up and down our land. The cross.
This day. Remember, O God, this gathering together of thy people. Lord, in the morning time
and even in the evening, Father, we covet thy presence. We yearn for thy power. And we, Father, we ask thee that thou will come and speak to hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're turning to the hymn 361, just over the page, 361. Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. 361, we'll stand again as we sing, please. Let's stand. Psalm 143. We read together this morning, Psalm 143. Bears in title, A Psalm of David. The verse 1, Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness answer me, and in thy righteousness. And enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul, he hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness, as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me, and my heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee, as a thirsty land, Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies. And destroy all them that afflict my soul. For I am thy servant. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. We're going to sing one more hymn together before we come to the preaching of God's word. The hymn is 332. 332, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. We'll remain seated for the first three verses, and then we'll stand together as we sing the final two, please.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart.
Thank you.
Amen. We're turning again to the book of Ruth, to the chapter 2 for one final time. The book of Ruth in the chapter 2. Wonderful little book of treasure of the grace of God, as we've been studying it together over the weeks. In some senses, you don't want to leave a chapter. Every time you go to it, you keep finding more and more. But every good thing must come to an end, as it were. We must keep making progress. And we're just coming one final time to the chapter 2 this morning. We're commencing at the verse 17. Read down to the end of the chapter. This morning we want to pay particular attention to Naomi once again. We'll commence at the verse 17 where it's speaking of Ruth. So she gleaned in the field until even, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And she brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, The man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Ruth the Moabitess said, He said unto me also, Thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, It is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean on to the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word once again to our hearts. We've entitled the message this morning, Bitterness to Blessedness. Bitterness to Blessedness. Let's still ourselves, just look to the Lord for his help. May the Lord speak to our hearts. Father in heaven, we thank thee for another opportunity that we have this morning to come around thy word, to come around thy book. Lord, we acknowledge this is not the thoughts or the writings of mere man. This is the divine inspired word of God. And Father, we pray for that reverence to be given to thy book this morning. We pray for that help, that divine help us for the exposition even of thy word, that as we glean from these pages and from these words, that our minds and our hearts will be drawn to Christ, that we will not be simply thinking about individuals, historical individuals such as Boaz, Ruth, and Naomi, but rather we will be thinking upon the eternal Son of God. Father, we come at this very moment and we ask thee that thou wilt help us. Thou wilt prepare every heart to receive thy word. That thou, O God, wilt speak to every heart through thy word. That thou wilt do that work that is needed in every heart. And through it all, glorify thy Son. In Jesus' name. Amen. Over the weeks as we have studied this particular chapter in the book of Ruth, our attention has been time and again upon Boaz and upon Ruth. Upon the character of Boaz and how Christ-like this man was, upon that relationship then even as it comes about between Ruth and Boaz, how the two of them met and how the two of them even came to be, how Boaz saw Ruth and Boaz knew Ruth before Ruth ever knew him. But someone has not been in the picture. You'll remember that whenever Ruth went out to the field, someone remained in the home. Someone stayed behind. Ruth went out to work. Ruth went out to glean. And someone decided, no, I'll just stay in the house. Naomi's been missing. She stayed at home. She remained inactive as Ruth became active, she wouldn't go anywhere, she wouldn't do anything. Whenever Ruth had that desire, she got up in the morning, she says, I'm going out to work. Her mother-in-law just said, we'll go. That was it. There was no encouragement, there was no even desire. Well, if you're going, I'll go with you. There was nothing. It was simply just go. And then we stayed behind. She offered no support, no encouragement. When Ruth came with that desire of work, well, she could have guided her even to the best field. She could have said, look, I can't go with you or I won't go with you, but let me tell you where to go. Let me tell you who or what fields, what farmer to go and ask of. She didn't do any of that. It was the hand and the providence of God that Ruth was guided to Boaz. And so she's simply staying in the house. You see, Ruth, or Naomi, had a problem. Naomi had a great problem. Bitterness. Naomi was bitter. She confessed it herself even when she returned to Bethlehem. Chapter 1, verse 20. She said unto all of the people, you think of that time, all of the people are gathering around. Naomi has just returned after all of these years. And all of the people are so delighted to see her, so amazed to see her, and yet she comes into the city. Chapter 1, verse 20, call me not Naomi. Call me Mara. Naomi means pleasant. Mara means bitter. She wanted a bitter name because she had a bitter spirit. Because she said, the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Bitterness filled her mind and her heart. What that meant was she missed out. Bitterness left her stuck at home. Bitterness left her completely inactive, unable to help in any way, unable to get past even what had happened, unable to even think clearly. And we'll come back to that later on. Because the bitterness fogged her mind that she couldn't remember. Unable to speak. Unable to serve, unable to support. She was filled with bitterness that all she wanted to do was sit in a dark room, as it were, sit in her house, feel sorry for herself, and just stay there. No time with anyone. No action, no coming together, nothing. See nobody, speak to nobody, just stay in a house. No, it's an awful state for anyone to be in. Whenever they're filled with bitterness, certainly an awful state for a Christian to be in. One who's tasted and seen that the Lord is good, and yet to be filled with bitterness. Maybe bitter against God for providences in their lives whenever things change, trials come. Maybe bitter against other believers. Maybe bitter even against the church. Bitter against the minister. Bitter against just those that are around because of circumstances, because of happenings. And bitterness just comes in. And then bitterness then stops the child of God from doing anything. Coming to meetings. They'll stay at home because they're bitter. They won't want to come and to pray together. They won't want to come and to worship together. They won't want to come and hear the gospel being preached and the word of God being preached. They're just filled with bitterness, and it's just like, I'm not going there. No desire to be active in any way. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, Ephesians 4, the verse 31, and he spoke in that verse of bitterness amongst other things, because he says, Ephesians 4, 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. In other words, if you find a bitter spirit growing within you, get rid of it. If you find an anger growing within you and it's festering within you, get rid of it. Get it out of your system. Pray it out of your system. Make sure that the bitterness does not fester and grow within you. Bitterness needs to be rooted out. That's what needed to happen to Naomi. And it happened in the most wonderful way. By the end of that day, she woke up that morning. She started that day a bitter woman. She continued in her bitterness throughout the day. But by eventime, as she lay her head upon the pillow, the bitterness was gone. She was full of blessedness. And the reason for the change, Boaz. What a wonderful picture of Christ again. The only way, child of God, to have bitterness taken out of your life is Christ. The only way to have that bitter spirit removed from within you and the blessedness once again flowing, the joy that we've been singing about this morning, to have that joy and that blessedness, that happiness within you is Christ. Three things I want to leave with you this morning, our time together. First of all, the verse 18, her reception. Her reception. Ruth, she took up that there ephah of barley. She went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. And then Ruth brought forth and gave to Naomi that she had reserved after she had sufficed. Naomi saw, and then Naomi handled. She actually felt, as she saw with her eyes, and then she felt with her hands, the barley. And the food. She'd been sitting in the house all day in the bitterness of mind and spirit. And then Ruth comes home. And imagine that there. There she coming in with that 10 kilos, that 20 odd pounds of weight, that ephah of barley. And she just walks in with all of this provision. And just imagine Naomi's eyes just enlarging, as it were, and just opening up wide. And she looks. And then Ruth, she just sets down that great ephah of barley. And then she goes into her tunic and maybe into the pocket and she just lifts out, there's the rest of my lunch, it's for you. She receives all that Boaz had provided. It overwhelms her. It removes all of the bitterness instantly. You know, up until that point, as I said, she hasn't moved. Her mood hasn't changed. And then Ruth just enters and Naomi's eyes behold the provisions of Boaz's field and the provisions of Boaz's lunch. She sees it with her eyes. She holds it in her hands. And every thought, every single little bit, an element of bitterness, it's gone. All of that provision overwhelms her. You know, the provision which God in Christ has made for us is overwhelming. Child of God, whenever you think just for a moment of all that Christ has provided for you, if you were to sit at home and you were even to take out a pen and paper and you were to write down every single thing that you have because Christ has given it to you, every single blessing that you've enjoyed. And let me say this, you'd have to start again tomorrow because there's new blessings coming to you tomorrow. And you were to sit down and you were to start and to count up everything that you have because Christ has provided it. I guarantee this. Number one, you'd never exhaust the supply. Number two, you would be overwhelmed. It would stagger you. All that Christ has given for you. All that Christ has provided for you. And all of it is full. All of it is free. The salvation, especially, you think of that wonderful salvation that Christ bestows, it's greater than we could ever have hoped for. You think of the sins that were in you. You think of that sin that is within the heart of a man. The heart is deceived or desperately wicked and deceitful. And you think of all of the wickedness that is found in man. And yet the salvation which Christ gives. Is it any wonder in Christ we can say that our cup runneth over? There we were in the gall of bitterness of sin. Then Christ comes. And Christ calls us on to himself. Christ washes us in his precious blood. Christ makes us a new creature. Christ then puts within us his Holy Spirit. Christ then fills us and dwells us and uses us and blesses us. He gives us joy. He gives us peace. May the peace that Christ gives to his people, the peace with God, peace that passeth all understanding. Know the peace that Christ has formulated and brings to us and gives to us. That peace between God and man, it is the greatest peace treaty that has ever been formulated. Because we who are at enmity, in other words, we who were the enemies of God, we who fought against God, we who were at war with God in our ordinary state of man, Christ brings us and unites us. And that wonderful peace treaty, not only is there peace, but then he brings us into his family. Declared righteous or innocent. Penalty for sins removed. All memory of our past, all memory of our sins, all memory of our actions and activities against God is placed in the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be brought against us again, never to be held up against us again, never to be presented against us again. Done, dealt with. No condemnation. None will rise to speak in opposition of us in judgment day. That provision, then the salvation that Christ gives, that provision's an eternal provision. No, there's never going to be a time in all eternity to come when Christ will take back that which he's given to his children. There's never coming a day, there's never coming an hour, or even for a minute, in all eternity to come, that Christ will say, what I've given you, I now take from you. What I've blessed you with, I now take off you. It's never coming. You know, from that day there in Bethlehem, from that moment that Boaz brought Ruth into the field and kept her there, from that moment he handed over that lunch to her, you realize Boaz provided for that family every single day from that day onward. There would never be another day in their existence, in Naomi's existence, in Ruth's existence, there would never be another day when Boaz didn't provide for them. There was never another day when they had to go anywhere else for their food. There was never another day when they had to go anywhere else for their work or for their sustenance. Boaz provided for them every single day. That's a reality. The day and hour that you receive salvation of Jesus Christ, you'll be provided for all eternity. But you know you must receive it. If Ruth had have simply come home that day and Naomi had have simply just looked at it, she would never have experienced it. It had to be put and she had to take it in her hands. She had to eat of that lunch, that sustenance, that provision herself. It wasn't enough for Ruth simply to come home and go, well, I've got leftover tonight and I'm going to eat what I left over from my lunch. Naomi received it. Naomi had to take it. Naomi enjoyed it for herself. Naomi accepted the provision. Boaz provided it, yes. Boaz had all of the fields. Boaz had all of the provision. Boaz was there and Boaz was giving. But if Naomi simply sat in her bitterness and said, no, I'm not taking it, and she would never have had it. There had to be a reception on her part. There had to be a taking off it. You see, my friend, maybe you're here this morning still out of Christ, and you've heard time after time, you know the gospel, you know the provision, you know that Christ died for sin, you know that Christ can save you from your sins, but unless you take it, unless you call in the name of the Lord, unless you ask the Lord to save you from your sin, unless you ask the Lord for peace with Him, you'll never have it. You must come. Just as you are. You know what Naomi did whenever she saw and whenever she asked? It's wonderful, whenever that provision was brought out, she saw it, she handled it. She asked the question, where were you? What field have you been in? Where did you get this? Ruth said, Boaz. That was good enough. You know why? Because Naomi knew the worth of Boaz. I know that you would see the worth of Jesus Christ today. See, salvation that we're offering, it's not simply something of a church. It's not simply something of a man. The salvation that we're offering is a salvation that is from Christ. If you see the worth of Jesus Christ, I know that you would. Oh, that you would see Christ in all of His beauty. Oh, that you would see Christ in all of His perfection. Oh, that you would see Christ in all of His fullness, that you would know that the salvation that is being preached is not simply salvation of a man, but rather it's the salvation of the Son of God. And you would see His worth and His value. Her reception, but then secondly, I want you to see the verses 19 and 20, her reaction. Her reaction. In verse 19, she's asking that question. She says, where hast thou gleaned today? Where wroughtest thou? And then she says, blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Verse 20, she says, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living, to the dead. My, what a change in Naomi. And you notice even the change is not just, no doubt, in her complexion, but it's also in her speech. Because no longer is she simply saying, oh, I'm bitter, and call me bitter because the Lord's dealt bitterly with me. But rather, all mention of bitterness is now gone. Now she's saying, blessed. Blessed be he. Bitterness has turned to blessedness. The mourning has turned to joy. The hopeless has turned to hopeful. The old things passed away, all things new. Isn't it wonderful? She cannot but help herself praise the Lord. Didn't matter how grumpy, how bitter, how sad she was, whenever that provision is there, whenever she hears the name of Boaz, whenever she sees and she handles it all, she cannot be bitter. She cannot stay in her sadness and in her grief. She must praise. Blessed be he. And then she goes further. Blessed be he of the Lord. It's interesting, isn't it? When she saw the provision, she blessed the man. When she heard the man's name, she blessed the Lord. When she saw the provision, she blessed the man. When she heard the man's name, she blessed the Lord. Why? Because she realized God was in this. She realized this isn't simply by chance. This isn't simply the good luck of the day. This isn't simply that Ruth sorted everything out. This is off the Lord. because Ruth has been brought to the field of Boaz. Boaz has been there. Boaz has been gracious. No, it's wonderful. Whenever you can trace the mercy in the hand of the Lord in everything. It's wonderful whenever you can look back over days and over weeks and you can say the Lord was in that. The Lord has kept, the Lord has undertaken. Look at all of the trials, look at all of the hardships, but I can see there's the Lord's hand. Blessed be the Lord. That's the reality of what our praise ought to be. We give thanks for salvation. We're giving thanks for the gospel. We're giving thanks for the finished work of the cross. We're giving thanks and praise to Christ. Because Christ is the one who paid the debt. Because of Christ, every blessing is available from the storehouses in heaven. But not only must you praise Christ, always remember you must praise the Father. Yes, we preach Christ. Yes, we glory in Christ. But never forget to praise the Father. The Father is the Father of mercies. He's the God of all comfort. Because it was a Father who loved, so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. Naomi can see clearly, yes, Boaz has been gracious. Boaz has given the lunch. Boaz has given the provision. Boaz has given the opportunity to serve, to work, to lift, to glean. Boaz has been there. His hand has been in it. But Ruth sees it and all. There is God. God has provided. God has been merciful. My, what a change of testimony. She came back to Bethlehem. God's been dealing bitterly with me. Now she's realizing God has been blessing me. God is gracious to each one of us. Psalm 103, the verse 10, tells us that God hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Surely Naomi can say that. God had not dealt with Naomi after her sins, because God had even brought that message. You remember, there's bread in Bethlehem. He didn't leave her in Moab. And then when she comes to Bethlehem, she's bitter against God. God's dealing bitterly with me. Call me Mara. And yet God again provides through Boaz and through the working of Ruth. And now Naomi must say, blessed be he of the Lord. God's blessing me. He's not rewarding me for my sins. You could say her lap was full with provision, yes. Surely you must also now say her joy is full. Let me say very clearly. You will only find fullness of joy in Jesus Christ. You will not find fullness of joy in the world. You will not find fullness of joy in organized religion. You will not find fullness of joy in the works of your hands. You will not find fullness of joy even in family or in friends. The fullness of joy is found in Christ. Psalm 16, in the verse 11, it says, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, it's so clear and it's so true. Whenever an individual receives from the Lord that wonderful provision of salvation, you'll never be better. Now let me explain that. If you're here this morning and you're saved, Remember the moment that Christ saved you. Tell me, were you sad or were you happy? When that moment that you realized the Lord has forgiven me of my sins, and you think of the brokenness, you think of that sadness, that grief that was the Lord even give you that grace for, that you repented of your sins. You asked the Lord, Lord, forgive me of my sins. And you think of that moment whenever you cried to the Lord and He saved you from your sins. Ask the answer, the question in your heart. When you knew that the Lord had heard your cry, were you sad or were you happy? I guarantee this. It's the happiest you've ever been. The moment that you know your sins are forgiven is the happiest you've ever been. You've never been happier than that moment that Christ came into your heart. I think of Pilgrim's Progress, studied it. Young people, you remember that time when he came to the cross and the great burden of his sin was upon his back, and he came to the cross and the burden rolled off his back and down the hill into the sepulchre. What did Pilgrim do? He gave three leaps of joy. Blessed cross, blessed sepulchre. Yea, blessed rather be the man that was there put to shame for me. The joy in Pilgrim. Why? My sins are gone. My burden is lifted. It's rolled away, never to be seen again. Praise the Lord for dying for my sins. Oh, there's joy. Real joy. Wonderful joy when Jesus comes into your heart. You experienced that joy this morning. Be honest before the Lord. Is there been, can you say with a clear and a full heart this morning and a clear mind, I've experienced the salvation of the Lord? I can say there was a time, there was a date, there was a day. Christ came into my heart. Best day of my life. If you can't, my, there's joy this morning to be found in Christ. You'll not find it in the world. You'll not find it in self. The more an individual looks at self and turns to self, the more miserable they'll become. Individuals will never find happiness and joy in self. Find it in Christ. One final thing I want to leave with you this morning. Verse 20. Her remembrance. Her remembrance. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Now the question might be asked, if salvation is so wonderful, and Christ is so wonderful, why are there bitter Christians? It's a good question. How is it possible someone who has experienced the miracle of the new birth could be unhappy and bitter? Someone who has experienced their sins being taken, that burden rolling away, how is it possible that they could be bitter? I believe the answer is illustrated for us in the life of Naomi, in the verse 20. She forgot what Boaz was like. And there in the verse 20 it says, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. You see, verse 20 shows us Boaz knew Naomi, and Naomi knew Boaz. But it shows us also that there was a previous time that Boaz had helped both Elimelech and Naomi. At some date in the past, Boaz had been there for them. Boaz had helped them. Many years before, and even before they left and went to Moab, there was a time whenever Elimelech and Naomi needed help, and they turned to Boaz, and Boaz helped them. She had experienced his kindness and his grace. At some point previously, she had experienced the provision of Boaz. But over time, both she and her husband forgot what Boaz had done. When that famine came to the land of Bethlehem, instead of going to Boaz, who could have helped them, they left and went to Moab. And yet we see in these verses, and even as we were brought, our attention was brought to Boaz at the beginning of chapter 2, Boaz has never changed. Boaz was the same when he helped him in those years previous to the Boaz at the very start of chapter 2. Boaz was a man of wealth. Boaz was a mighty man. Boaz was a man who could provide for their needs. Boaz was the same as he had been all of those years previous. He was the same that very day as Ruth entered into his field. Boaz was the same. He was the same before the famine. He was the same during the famine. He was the same after the famine. He was always the same, but Naomi had forgotten just who Boaz was. And it was only when Ruth came home testifying of the grace of Boaz, the kindness of Boaz towards her, that then Naomi realized, yes, I remember him. I remember how kind he had been to the living and to the dead. I remember what he had done for us in the past. I remember how he was there for us. I remember how good he was to us. I remember how he had helped us. No, it's true. Sadly true. At times whenever trials and hardships come upon the Christian, you forget how wonderful Christ has been. Never that hardship's upon you, whenever you're facing down the road of a great trial and it's all flooding in upon you, you just forget about what Christ has done in the past for you. You forget how special he was in the past. You forget all of the provision. You live in that moment that you're existing in, that moment of trial and of hardship upon you. And all you're thinking about is here and now, instead of Christ in the past, is the same as the Christ of the present, is the same as the Christ of the future, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all may change. Jesus never. You forget how wonderful his salvation has been. You forget how precious a shepherd he is. You forget how glorious a sovereign he ever will be. Because all you're looking at is now. What am I facing? That's what happened with Elimelech and Naomi. The famine's coming in. And all they thought about was the famine. They forgot about Boaz. They spent 10 years in Moab. She came back in the bitterness of spirit and of heart. And it's only whenever Ruth comes to her and says, look at all that I have because of Boaz, then she remembers. Boaz is special. No child of God, this day, how much we need to remember all that Christ has done for us. He's never failed us. He's never failed me. He will never fail you. He is an unchangeable God. Yes, your circumstances may change, but your God never will. See, when your mind and your heart stayed upon Jehovah, then hearts are truly blessed. Because then you're finding, as he promised, perfect peace and rest. What a God. What a Savior. Is he yours? Are you living in the bitterness of sin? Or in the blessedness of your Savior? Have you the joy of Christ? If you don't, oh my friend, come today. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Because blessed or happy is the man that trusteth in him. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for Jesus Christ. We thank thee for our kinsman redeemer, the one who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee for every provision that is made in Christ. We do rejoice that in Christ we find full salvation. We find free salvation. Father, we pray for each one that is here, each one online, or God, even those that will listen at a later time, that thou wilt bless and minister to every heart, that thou wilt speak, O God, to each heart, that thou wilt save those that are not saved, that thou wilt restore those that are backslidden, restore unto them the joy of their salvation, that thou wilt work, O God, and encourage thy people to ever look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. Lord, separate us now with thy blessing. Take us to our homes in safety. Bring us again this night. Bring others with us, O God, as we come afresh to thy house. In Jesus' name, amen.